You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tasker, touchdown, Buffalo!
And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve!
A balloon.
Steve! A blimp? We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy here.
A journey that started 4 months ago, September 13th, a step-by-step journey that every NFL team begins. Only seven are still alive right now. And they're not just in the hunt, they're in the game. They're one win away tonight from the AFC Championship. Snap, Jackson, looking for someone, can't find anybody. He is dropped back around the 11-yard line, brought down by Jerry Hughes. Lamar Jackson, he does not look comfortable. Josh in shotgun, second and goal at the three. The snap, the pass, it is caught by Diggs, and he goes into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. What a well-executed play that was. 3 yards, Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs. Lamar Jackson back to throw, guns it into the end zone, intercepted. 2 yards deep in the end zone, intercepted by Taron Johnson, and he brings it out, and he's still on the run. He may go all the way. He's at the Baltimore 40, the 30, gets a block at the 20, 10, 5, touchdown! Touchdown! Taron Johnson goes 102 yards with an end zone interception, touchdown Buffalo! Wow! Fourth and goal from the 10, the snap. Tyler Huntley fires one into the end zone, it is bobbled, and it is incomplete! Incomplete. The tight end Mark Andrews could not hang on. Matt Milano in coverage. And now it's party on in Orchard Park.
That was the Toshiba Game Rewind. Toshiba, the official supplier of the Buffalo Bills, official copier company of the Buffalo Bills. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Final Four. It's the Final Four standing in the NFL for the 2020 NFL season, and your Buffalo Bills are one of those four teams. How does it feel, people? How does it feel?
The hardest moment of the entire season for me was keeping quiet while that pick six was going on.
Did you stick a sock in your mouth,
basically? I literally had to concentrate not to step all over Murph.
Oh, he's going
to
make it! He's going to make it!
But I'm standing there and in that booth, and the play happens off to our – we're on the home side. The play happens. It's going from our left to our right, and I'm just biting my tongue. I'm just trying to concentrate to stay out of the way. And as it goes past, you know, the radio booth in the stadium is great seats. The booth to our right, it's the booth where Brandon Bean, Joe Shane, Dan Morgan are sitting down in the front row. Then behind them in a row by himself is Terry – and behind him in a row by herself is Kim. That's the only five people in there.
Kim's usually pacing. She's not sitting.
Right. She's a busy watcher. So I'm sitting there, and I'm not thinking about any of that until, you know, the play comes past us going left to right, and I'm watching it, trying to be quiet, and at the corner of my eye, as Taron Johnson goes in to the end zone, you know, I'm kind of looking right through, although it's right at their booth, I look over, and it is bedlam in the owner's box. I mean, bedlam. Morgan, Shane, Brandon, they are, you know, all their suit coats are, they're, you know, they're like jumping. Terry's going crazy. I couldn't even look back and see what Kim was doing there. It was absolute bedlam. The suit coats were flying in the wind. It was unbelievable. So and Murph gave that last little whoo like that. And I said, okay, now I'll start talking. And that was the biggest play for this franchise in 25 years was made by Taron Johnson the other night in that game against the Baltimore Ravens, without question.
Yeah.
The biggest play in 25 years, and good for him, and bless his heart for making it. It was an unbelievable play, and I've seen like 25 angles of it.
It was a crazy play, and my view from the press box, I'm at the opposite end. So this play is coming straight at us in the press box. And when the game is that far down the field, I go to my binoculars. I'm watching everything through my binoculars when it's that far away, because I'm in the upper corner of the tunnel end zone, and I need the binoculars to see, man-on-man matchups, things like that.
Yeah, it's an ant pill. It's an anthill.
So I'm following the ball through my binoculars, and I see the interception, and so I followed right to Taron, and I said, oh, my God, he's going to kneel it. Because there were people around him.
Right. That's what I thought.
He flinches like he's going to take a knee, and then he's like, no, there's green grass over there. So I asked him after the game. I said, were you thinking about kneeling it? He goes, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was looking down after I caught it, and I was like, oh, I'll take a knee. And then he saw all that green grass out to the right side, so he thought he could get there. And he said, I didn't think I was going to make it all the way because I knew Lamar was back there. And he said, I know Lamar's faster than me. But then I spot Tre'Davious coming up on my right, and I slowed down so he could get in front of me to give me the block that I needed to get all the way home. So,
let me tell you something. Smart football players make plays like that. And that's why a culture matters. That's the kind of guy you want in there. Taron Johnson, and a lot. It's been funny too. You know the tweet, the meme out there that says how it started and how it's going.
There's
a split screen, and it gives you a picture of the same people, and then later how it's going. Good
We've
or bad.
We've seen a lot of those with the pandemic.
Right. Either good or bad. Right. Taron Johnson, you remember, was the kid at the combine that got whacked in the head during one of the ball drills.
Yep.
He didn't pick the ball up and was trying to, impress guys with
his
hands.
Well, he looked the wrong way.
He looked the wrong way. Bam, right in the side of his head. And it's like, it was pretty embarrassing for him. And so now, Lamar's pass didn't hit him in the head. He ended up taking it the distance. So that was one of those things about you see a kid.
Yeah.
Come as far as he has, and it's pretty gratifying.
And Jordan Poyer broke that play down in a post-game press conference. He was saying it was a cover two call. He said, in his opinion, Lamar Jackson looked confused on the play. And, I've never been a quarterback in my life. But I got to believe, if you're a little crossed up on a play like that, going to try to make a play anyway and chuck it in the end zone? I don't know. Like, the thought processes of a quarterback, he's looking for Andrews there.
Andrews pivoted and was going to slide outside, and Lamar was going to hit him on his back shoulder as he slid outside, so it would have been his inside shoulder back to the center of the field and away from the way he was moving. But it was going to be a throw behind him. It looked like it was going to be good, but Taron was coming from the outside in as well. So it's easy to see why Lamar never saw him, but I was with you. I thought, okay, catch it. Now he's going to go down. Perfect. And he didn't. And I was like, and it, all these thoughts you have take about a half second before you think, just go. And I thought too that Tre'Davious, I thought Tre'Davious might trip him.
They came very close to tangling legs right there at about the 35-yard line.
And, fantastic play. And then, of course, there's a picture, and I don't know, I would like to give the photographer credit, but there's a picture now already up in the Albright Knox Art Museum of Taron Johnson running with Tre'Davious White in escort and Lamar Jackson in pursuit and Josh Allen on the sidelines off the ground with his hands in a touchdown motion. It's in the Albright Knox already. Awesome display, and it was a moment.
Yeah, you're right. It will undoubtedly – and Josh said this after the game. He said this was a franchise-altering play. This is a play that Bills fans will remember forever. Taron Johnson will come back to Buffalo as a 55-year-old man, and the first thing people will say is 101-yard interception return in the divisional playoff against Baltimore. That he will forever be linked to that play in Bills history. And for the lucky 6,700 fans that were there that can say they saw it in person, I mean, that's
That's pretty special. You hear about the 1.5 million Western New Yorkers that claim they were there from start to finish for the comeback game.
Right.
There weren't that many that saw the whole game. Half of them left at halftime.
It's just one of those other things that makes you think, too, what the whole joint, the joint was going nuts.
It was shaking.
With 6,700 people.
The building was shaking.
There would have been structural damage had it been full. I mean, it was unbelievable moment in the most incredibly intense part of the game when it was critical. It was a critical moment in the game and therefore a critical moment in the season. And in this season, it's an absolute critical moment in franchise history. I mean, if they're going to take a step forward, you know, what's going to happen in this game? And to cap off a season like this one and to have him make that play, you could feel all of it just spew out of everybody. The emotion, the relief, the joy. It was absolutely unbelievable moment. And, you know, I make fun of the booth next to ours with all the executives and the owners. And listen, this radio booth was no different. Murph, both are, and I was both hair, you know. And we were, you know, the composed ones. And to look down on the fans and to wonder what it would have been like had it been full was just a moment like no other. It was unbelievable.
And for Taron Johnson, you know, you think about the trajectory of his career. This is a guy that got benched in week 6. He lost his nickel corner job. They replaced him in the lineup with Cam Lewis. Now, Cam Lewis suffers a season-ending wrist injury, and Taron's back in the game like a quarter and a half later.
Right.
But he was asked about that, and, you know, where you were joking about those memes, you know, where it is and how it's going and all of that. And he said, "I just took everything day by day." He goes, "That's been my best plan as a professional, just take it one day at a time." And that's what I did. And I think he is a critical component of why this defense was as successful as it was down the stretch here the last 5 games of the season. I don't think everybody fully understands the multifaceted role that the nickel corner has to play in this defensive scheme, whether it's interior run support, blitzing off the edge, obviously coverage, but there are so many, there's a myriad of responsibilities, so many, in fact, that when Taron Johnson was a rookie and he was competing for the nickel job, they brought in the guy that used to play the position, Leonard Johnson, who played it in 2017 for this team under McDermott in year 1. And then he wanted to get into coaching, but Coach McDermott brought him in to teach the guys that were potentially going to play that position all of the responsibilities that are entailed within it. And I think he was even here this past training camp, Leonard Johnson was. And Taron is a respected teammate on that side of the ball. If you just listen to his teammates talk about him, he is a respected player. Young player, but a respected player because of how he goes about his daily business. You know.
Yeah, he got benched at a time when the defense was really struggling to find its way. I mean, we think back when Milano was out of the lineup, A.J. Klein had been inserted in, and he was, you know, they were trying to figure out how to use him and how not to use A.J. Klein. The defensive line had 5 new faces in an 8-man rotation, and I always count Harrison Phillips as a new face because he didn't play in 2019. So he comes back after missing all of that year, comes in, and he's new with 3 other new guys on that rotation. And, you know, so they were really struggling defensively in the first half. Well, comparatively speaking, they were struggling defensively in the first half of the season, and they were finding, you know, benching guys, bringing guys up.
That's they were looking for answers, better answers.
Trent Murphy started getting deactivated. You know, A.J. Epenesa was not on the field. He was a healthy scratch week after week early in the season. Finally, now he's back in. Ed Oliver looking for his second season legs under him and how to work with the 2 other guys that were rotating in with him. And Tremaine Edmonds trying to hold it all together by him, virtually by himself, and at least on the front 7. So they were struggling, and, you know, Taron was a part of that, to get benched like that and then to come back. And, you know, that's why you search for guys who've got it, you know, inside them to be better and to improve and to overcome adversity instead of shrink or, you know, give up.
Right.
It's a real testament to how this defense has evolved over just a short second half of the season.
Yeah.
It really is amazing.
And I think we would be remiss if we do not credit defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier with a masterful game plan, and then his players went out, and that might be the best execution of a well-designed game plan that I have ever witnessed against a really good, unique style of offense.
Right.
I mean, this is not the kind of offense NFL defenses see every week, unless you play in the AFC North and you play the Ravens twice a year. It is a big change. It is in sharp contrast to anything else most NFL defenders see from week to week. Yes, they played them 14 months ago when they were a similar version of what we saw on Saturday night. But I'm sure in the course of history in the NFL, there have been hundreds, thousands of masterfully designed game plans. But I don't know if masterfully designed and brilliantly executed come together even half of the time. And
not like
this
that,
was those two things coming together on Saturday night. You hold any team to 3 points in the playoffs, I mean, that is rare. And to do it against a team as hot as the Ravens were, churning out yards, churning out points, it was just masterful job. You got to tip your hat to the coaching staff, number one, for drawing this thing up, because Jerry Hughes said it late in the week. We're not going to play him the same way we did last year. We're going to have a different plan. And everybody's like, wonder what the heck that's going to look like. Looked pretty damn good.
Yeah, that,
and kudos to the coaching
staff. Holding that team to 3 points, nobody seriously thought that could happen. Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody. And they did it. They absolutely did.
And
it took, and believe me, Baltimore had a pretty good night. Offensively, they outplayed the Buffalo Bills offensively, numbers-wise, statistics-wise.
Right.
But in games like this, we've said it a ton, it's about making plays at the right time. That was a kind of a stalemate, that game. They missed 2 field goals. The Bills missed 1.
And we could talk about the win, too, because it was unquestionably a factor in the game.
It sure was.
But
and
then,
so it was a very tight game, and the Bills made more plays when it counted and pulled out the victory.
End of the first half. Ravens with 20 minutes of possession time to Buffalo's 10. Ravens converted half of their third down, 7 of 14. They had 340 total net yards. Bills had only 220. The numbers that mattered, though, were these. Ravens 0 for 3 in the red zone, 0 for 2 in goal-to-go situations, and 0 for 2 on fourth downs. I mean, the defense really, really stood tall. I don't know what you felt, Steve, about the early stages of that game. It almost felt like both teams were really tight at the beginning of the game. Execution was poor on both sides. I mean, there were a number of plays by both teams.
I think offensively it was, yeah. The center had problems for Baltimore snapping
well, yeah.
the ball.
But, I mean, you had a bunch of stuff. A.J., even like veteran players, A.J. Klein lines up off sides, gives
right.
them a first down after they have a stop. I know everybody talked about the Gabe Davis drop in the end zone. I mean, he had a guy draped on him, but yes, you can make the argument that he should have made that catch.
Would have been a fantastic catch.
Josh missed on a couple of throws. I don't know if wind was a factor there. I was of the opinion that Josh was almost overhyped. We had a jacked up, because there were a couple of rocket balls out there where I was like, ooh. He might be too hyped for this game.
There's
here in
couple
the early
of
stages.
I thought got through some guys quick, but I thought the wind was a factor on the long ball, particularly because I thought it was moving it around.
You're saying down to the tunnel end to Diggs,
down to
the
tunnel
deep
end
shot
to the Diggs. I thought that ball got moved around
because he had another one the other way that he threw over the wrong shoulder of Gabriel Davis going towards the scoreboard end. He had him
right.
Davis had him beat, and he put it over the wrong shoulder.
That's the hard throw to make, too.
Right.
That's a tough end to throw into down at that end. So, I don't know. I think the long ball was really effective. And I'll tell you this, the punting was completely transformed. I mean, that you could not
Both
punt
of those guys had a shank punt into the wind end.
Now, Bjorquez had a couple of punts he hit, and it was when Nett left his foot, I thought, that looks perfect. and it landed 15 yards shorter than it should have. It got knocked down. I mean, you could see the wind actually push it and move it, even from the side.
Yeah,
so.
I mentioned this on a radio interview over the weekend after the game. Brian Moorman, who was a Pro Bowl punter here for many years, I would often ask him about wind conditions and stuff and how he has to adjust, this, that, and the other. And he said sometimes on the windiest of days, when I drop the ball to my foot, which is essentially 2.5 feet, he holds it out with an outstretched arm, drops it out of his hand. He said from that drop to the time it gets to my foot on windy days, there have been times where it has moved sideways 6 inches between the time I dropped it out of my hand and met it with my foot. So people ask, well, how the heck do you shank a punt? But, you know, I understand if it gets knocked down once it's up in the wind, but how do you shank a punt? How does that happen on a windy day? That's how it happens here in Buffalo, because the ball will literally blow the ball 6 inches sideways from where you dropped it.
Back in 1985, 86, Sean Landetta completely whiffed on a punt.
That was in Chicago.
In a playoff game in Chicago. Yeah. Completely whiffed. He dropped it, and it wasn't there when he swung his leg. And, you know, it's people are looking at him like, what are you, crazy? And it's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Ball's not there. And it was, it started to, there was a time, I think late in the game it started, it was not as big a factor. During the middle of the game, man, it was crusher. And in fact, the officials were having to stand on the ball at the yard line when they put it on the hash mark.
And start rolling.
Because the ball was rolling off the field.
And so, they had to, the kickoff guys needed a holder on occasion as well. You know, a guy to put his finger on top of the ball to keep it on the tee.
It was
so
a factor.
It was most definitely a factor in this game. The other thing that we need to get to as far as news and notes go, the Chargers head coaching job is off the table. Defensive coordinator for the Rams, Brandon Staley, is going to be the new head coach of the Chargers, which probably takes the most likely head coaching destination for Brian Daboll off the table. There are two head coaching jobs remaining because the anticipation is that Dan Campbell, the assistant coach with the New Orleans Saints, after he completes his exit interviews with the Saints who lost yesterday with his players, will assume the head coaching job in Detroit. So that basically leaves the Texans and the Eagles. And we know that Leslie Frazier virtually interviewed with the Texans yesterday. Eric Bieniemy is reportedly doing an interview, and this might be the second interview for him with the Texans. I'll have to double-check that. But he is interviewing with the Texans today. Brian Daboll is said to be on the list, or is reported to be on the list, for the Eagles' head coaching job, but to our knowledge, no formal request has been made to set up an interview time. And now with this being championship week, I do know that NFL clubs have the opportunity to refuse those interview requests if they're during this week as they get ready for championship Sunday. The other thing with regard to the Texans, it's getting messy down there. There are reports that Deshaun Watson is done with the Texans organization. It has angered the fan base to the point where they have threatened to stage a pro-Deshaun Watson rally. And Watson has since publicly requested that the Houston fans do not do that, you know, due to the COVID risks involved with something like that. He does not want to be associated with something that could cause further spread of the coronavirus. So he is asking them not to do that. And it has been reported widely that the Texans' job is now the least desirable in the NFL, and you can certainly understand why with how things have gone so wrong with a 25-year-old franchise quarterback. And if it is irreparable, I think it will be very hard for Houston to find a head coach. Right. They ultimately will find one because there are, again, only 32 of these jobs in the NFL. I don't know if they're going to get one of the top two people they may want, not only because of the Deshaun Watson situation, but the draft pick situation is poor. They don't have a first-round pick. They don't have a second-round pick this year. Their first pick is 67 in round three, and they have a lot of holes to fill and a cap situation that's not that pretty. And a player who is beloved also in J.J. Watt, who has a $17.5 million price tag on forced, the cap next year.
You may be forced to trade him.
And Watson.
Yeah.
The two most beloved players on the roster by the fan base, gone, and you're the new head coach. Fun with that.
Yeah, you may be building with no materials.
Have
no
fun
budget.
With that.
Yeah. On the other side of this, during the game the other night when Deshaun Watson went down, this is Bill's
Are you talking about Patrick Mahomes or Deshaun Watson?
I'm sorry, Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, okay.
No, Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson.
Yes.
I'm talking about, Lamar Jackson in the game against the Buffalo last night for the Baltimore Ravens left with a concussion. And Bills Mafia, if you haven't heard, began donating to his charity, as they have done for other charities in the past. The list is becoming
kind of a get-well-soon kind of wish.
Over 11,000. This is reported from Blessings in a Backpack. This is Lamar Jackson's charity, and this is retweeted by John Olson. 11,200 donations were made over the last 24 hours in honor of Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson. It totaled over $290,000 to feed kids on weekends in school, in public schools where they don't get any food.
Like a lot of kids, there are a lot of kids who the only meals they get are when they go to school and get breakfast and lunch. And with kids home and being virtually schooled, some are eating even less, and schools are trying to provide meals that people can pull up and get, even if school is not in session because of the pandemic. But, yes, you're right.
Which is why Lamar Jackson's involved. He knows what a good cause it is, and the Bills Mafia, in honor of his game this last weekend, have donated $290,000 to that organization. Good for you. And that, once again, Bills fan base leaves other fan bases agape with admiration.
Well, yeah.
For the things that they do.
And it got to the point where even some of the Ravens players after the game, like, for example, you know, Marlon Humphrey was saying, does Buffalo have anything to do with Buffalo wings? Like, he was just ignorant to that fact. But a Bills fan politely replied to him and basically said, yes, they are. They were invented here. Anchor Bar, you know, the whole 411. And then he very politely said, 31-20 Bills, or, you know, go Bills or whatever.
Right.
And so afterwards, Marlon Humphrey, after the loss, he said he's rooting for the Bills for the rest of the playoffs. He says they're a classy organization, and this is a direct quote. They've got a pretty good team and have a pretty good shot to do it. And then he finally finishes with, I did not know Buffalo Wings came from Buffalo. It makes sense. And I don't know if you audibly heard, but you could audibly hear the conversation between John Harbaugh and Sean McDermott, two head coaches who have coached together for, I think it was 8 years in Philadelphia under Andy Reid. And you audibly could hear John Harbaugh saying to Sean McDermott, I hope you win the whole thing, after the handshake, after the game. So, as much credit as the Bills are getting for being a classy organization, and their fan base for that matter, John Harbaugh is pretty classy too, and I thought that was, for a guy that's got his own Super Bowl already, I thought that was a really nice thing to extend to Coach McDermott right after a game, which was a bitter defeat for him, when I think he feels and knows his team did not play their best on Saturday. Now, some of that was due to the fact of how well Buffalo played, but there were a lot of self-inflicted errors, the two snaps not included. I mean, the Ravens had 5 fumbles in the game, Steve.
Yeah.
5. Miraculously, they did not lose
one
of them.
Any of them. But, yeah, the Bills' defense played at a level that, like we saw the offense play during the regular season, every week they seem to be getting better.
Yeah.
And that's a huge boost right now. I know that everybody in Western New York and the Bills fan base, and, of course, you and I were watching the Browns play Kansas City. Browns had a chance to win that game. They really did. They got a fumble safety for a touchback that cost them a chance to get a touchdown, if not get a touchdown, in a game they lost by 5 points. Mahomes went down with a concussion, go ahead.
There's an update on that.
Go ahead.
It was just tweeted. Sorry to interrupt, Steve, but Jay just sent this along to us on the chat here to alert us. Carrington Harrison, a reporter that covers the Chiefs, said, a source has told me Patrick passed all of his tests last night. He didn't actually hit his head. There was a nerve in his neck that got tweaked that put him out of it. He's getting testing done on his neck/nerve today, but did clear all tests last night. And that makes a lot of sense when you see how the play happened. His neck got bent over, and I wonder if it's not all that different, Steve, from a boxer getting that shut-off nerve when he gets hit with an uppercut, and it just shuts him off and he gets knocked out. I think that's kind of what happened to Patrick here with the way he got his neck twisted. It wasn't a blow to the head.
That's the thing, and I was going to say this too about Pat Mahomes and his injury. I know we take it for granted. I know it's a rough time. These guys sign up for it and all of that, and you know, they're grown men and they can take the risks that they know they can, that they know are involved with the game that they play. But you got to tip your hat, because that was, for all of us watching them, that was like kind of an innocuous hit. Certainly it was physical and it was fast and all that, but that's not the old time. Wow, look at that hit. In fact, you look for it and you couldn't, like, to your point, you could never see his head get whacked like that.
Yeah.
He gets up like that. You got to tip your hat to the risk these guys take. And for all the naysayers out there who poo-poo how soft the NFL is, these guys are still playing as hard as they can possibly play. And fluky stuff like that happens.
So all signs are pointing to Patrick Mahomes most likely clearing concussion protocol, because this looks more like a pinched nerve situation that shut off, you know, messaging to his brain, equilibrium, all of those things.
Right.
And I think we, I'm not a doctor, but I think it sounds as though we can liken it to when a boxer gets knocked out. You know, you have that shut off nerve in your jaw that goes right down your neck and basically shuts everything off to your brain, and you're out on your feet. And I think a similar thing happened to Mahomes on that play, because at the very end, his whole body is basically being dragged by his head, because the guy's got him in a headlock and his neck is kind of craned down, his chin's touching his chest. And so it probably just pinched a nerve and shut it off. And so he tries to get up and he's, woo.
I never really thought that he would not play in this game. And I know a lot of Bills fans are, oh my gosh, we could, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, none of that. Let him play. He'll be all right. And I got more to say about, you know, this game and the Bills and being in it and all that. We'll talk about that all week. But, Pat Mahomes deserves to play if he can. And I'm totally for it.
We have a Twitter poll that we will get to. It's basically what's on your mind today as the Bills advance to the AFC title game. And we've got people holding at 803-0550, but there is an open line for you, so be sure to hop on board when you get the opportunity. We'd love to hear from you. Also, you can hit us up on the tweet sheet, and we'll be happy to read your thoughts on the air there. So who do we have? We have Dave in Tonawanda, Dick in Depew, Bob in Hamburg. Hang tight. We'll get to you when we return. Your phone calls next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker on this Martin Luther King Day. We hope everybody who's got the day off remembers why you are off today. Try to honor the probably one of the greatest civil rights leaders the world has ever seen. So just keep that in your thoughts as you're enjoying your day off today. And we do want to get to the phones at 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. And get your thoughts on being in the Final Four here. Championship week includes the Bills. And we're going to lead off with Dave in Tonawanda. Dave, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Hello. Congratulations on the Bills win. I just wanted to say the Bills defense was dented but didn't break. And that the interception return looked like it was actually like 102 yards, but that's neither here nor there.
That is true. I would agree with you on
Murph
that.
Murph called it 102 yards.
I would have, too. I thought he was more than a yard deep,
well,
don't
he
you?
He caught it a yard deep, and his momentum carried him to 2 yards deep when he brought it out. So take your pick.
We're splitting hairs, but the reason why the yard was important, Steve, is if it did count as 102, it would have been the record, would have been the longest in postseason history. Instead, it tied the record set by Dallas safety George Teague in the 90s. I want to say 96 was when it happened. I thought it was two yards deep.
It looks 2 yards to
me. Yeah, I would have given it
whatever,
to him.
You know.
But it was at the opposite end of the field for the statistician, so maybe a hard read there for them.
Murph called it 102, and I thought, that's right on the money. It's exactly what it was. I was kind of pleased with Murph because he's. I thought, hey, you nailed that.
Yeah.
Also, his spotter Mark tabbed Taren right away, knew exactly who had picked it off.
Yeah.
And, you know, down in that garbage, you can't, you know, all the bodies, you couldn't tell. And Murph had the call right away. And, yeah, it was – I can't believe that, man. It was so unbelievable. That was so unbelievable, that play.
That's going to be arguably – I mean, no matter what the Bills do from here or not, that's going to be one of the top 10 plays in team history. Like, right?
That's
I mean,
there.
There's a lot of big plays, but that's going to be on the top 10 list.
Give me a play that is that important, like maybe the winning touchdown and the comeback game.
Right. You know, Christie's field goal, not a hard field goal, but, I mean, it won the game.
Right. A difference-making play like that. I mean, and there might have been some, the playoff games. There is
like you guys beat the Raiders 29-23 to go play the Chiefs in the last conference championship game.
Yeah.
Anybody have a big winning play to put you up 29-26 there that you recall?
No,
or was it a bunch of field goals? Or
I had a kick return down to the one in that game.
Yeah.
When we were getting pushed around.
Like,
yeah.
Jim Kelly in the season opener had the game-winning touchdown against the Dolphins, but that's regular season. This one carries more weight, right?
Yeah, that one in 89 was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was pretty good.
Does this carry more weight because of the magnitude
absolutely.
Of the game?
Yeah, you advance. You survive in advance. I'm hard-pressed. You know, the Carlton Bailey screen pass interception in a championship game that was the only touchdown
that's
in the
probably
game.
Up
that's
there.
That's probably up there, too.
Yeah, that was
Carlton
a 10-7
Bailey.
Game.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't a game-winning play. I put the game away. Taren Johnson's play put the game away.
That put him up 10. I think that put the Bills up 10-0. And the Broncos came back, got 10-7, then had another drive at the end of the game, and Kirby Jackson forced a fumble and recovered it himself to ice the game.
So it proved to be the game-winning score. Oh, no. No, the field goal did. Okay.
Yeah. I'll say that. How about this one? Bills are playing the Oilers in the very first ever home playoff game in this stadium. And your boy forced a fumble to ice the game.
Ooh.
On Curtis Duncan, former college teammate of mine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was in a playoff game that Warren had just gone down, got him within a touchdown. We had to punt it away to give it back to him with 2 minutes and change left.
Yeah.
And I forced a fumble, and we got that. That was a play of that. And that's kind of, I hate to say it, like Carlton Bailey, Taren Johnson, and it's kind of like those
short list.
It's kind of those plays, though, kind of those players. It's not Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed.
Isn't that funny?
Bruce Smith.
How that works that way?
It's guys like me, Carlton Bailey, and Taren Johnson, nickel corner, who's, it's those kind of guys that are the most, that's why they're so unexpected.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's an amazing play that Taren made.
It really
to
is.
To run it that far.
Well, it was funny because Kim Jones from NFL Network was in the press box for the game, traveled up for the game on Saturday night, and she walks by me shortly after the play, and she's like, what is Taren's 40 time? She's like, he looked like he was running really, really, really fast. And I said, Kim, I hate to break it to you, he ran a 4.5 at the combine.
Yeah.
I said, I guess he plays faster than he times. She goes, he looked 4.3 there. I was like, well, I don't know if he was 4.3. I said, but he was moving.
It's hard. Yeah. And I'll say
that. And when you're in the adrenaline's pumping, yeah, he's probably running faster than 4.5 there.
Here's what it's all about, too. And I get it. If you're gonna run a race and everybody starts, but in a game, nobody starts from the same starting spot. Nobody's starting from the same starting line. Nobody has the same distance to run. And that's when the race is on. And if you give a guy that's a 4.5 a 5 yard head start,
yeah, it's
a
hard
to close
that up.
A 4.3 guy can't catch him.
Especially when there's a blocker in front of you.
Yeah.
I mean, that was probably the best decision he made, allowing Tre'Davious to get in front of him to provide the block. Because I think everybody knows in the building that Lamar Jackson's probably the fastest guy on the field. So without that block, he doesn't get home. And
that's
then
right.
Who knows what happens with the offense.
And he's smart enough to wait on Trey to come in, you know? See, look at him. He looked at
yeah,
right.
He's like, oh, I got Trey here. Okay.
Looks right at Trey, and he cuts the outside of Trey. And Trey knows exactly what to do. It's awesome.
And the funniest thing was he looks over his right shoulder after he knows he has the block on his left from Tre'Davious to see if anybody's behind him.
Right.
Josh Allen took credit for that. He said, because in practice, every time he picks me off, I always try to punch the ball out from behind. So he was Josh trying to take credit for him looking over his right shoulder. I thought that was hilarious.
It's all the details, Brownie. It's all
the details.
Hilarious. You're right. And I'll tell you this. I was coming in today, and everybody's like, oh, my gosh, I wish we'd have played the Browns. I don't know. And the reason
they wanted a home game. I think that was the main impetus for that thought.
And I'll say this. The Chiefs are a great football team. Pat Mahomes is going to play, and he deserves to play. And I have no problem with that because here's the thing. The Bills deserve to be in the AFC Championship game. They were the number two seed. They're the team that has earned the right to be there, and there's a reason for it because they're that good.
Yeah.
People around the country who either don't like the Chiefs or want somebody new or whatever, the Bills are the team they wanted to be in because they thought the Bills had a chance to beat these Chiefs.
Yeah.
And it's true. They do. They've got a good chance to beat that team. Certainly they're going to have to play their best. Maybe in a lot of ways better than they've played in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, because there have been some missing parts from their performances each of the last
right.
2 weeks.
But they're looking at a team in the Kansas City Chiefs that struggled to put away the Browns at home after being as fresh as they could possibly be after a two-and-a-half-week or maybe a three-game
well,
layoff.
Well, for a lot of their
right?
starters, it was 3 weeks because they didn't
right.
play in Week 17.
So this is a game where the Bills are going to roll in there, and the Bills are going to have every reason, and Bills fans should have every reason to believe they have a chance to win it. Now, it's going to take
– And the pressure's off.
It's going to – right.
There's no pressure. Nobody's expecting you to beat the Chiefs.
It's going to take a gargantuan effort, a perfect effort, and the Chiefs are going to have to – you're going to have to take advantage of some mistakes by the Chiefs probably.
Yeah.
They're that good. But so are the Buffalo Bills. And you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody who does not give the Bills a legitimate shot or can formulate in their mind a scenario where the Bills go in there and walk out with a win. So I know everybody's got a lot of angst about how good Pat Mahomes is, and there should be. He's great. He's an MVP. But believe me, the Chiefs have nothing but respect for these guys coming in there. So it's going to be a fun game. Enjoy the week. It's going to be great. The pressure's off. This is further than the Bills. This goes past the expectations of even the most ardent Bills fans,
yeah,
right? The realistic expectations. Certainly there's always those who go, hey, we're going to go to the Super Bowl and win it, but you know, you got to formulate a plan to get there. The plan is in place, and right now it is very easy to formulate a path towards the Bills winning the Super Bowl, just like it is for the Packers, the Bucks, and the Chiefs, of course. So for all the fans out there that have a lot of angst about Pat Mahomes and the Chiefs, listen, your team deserves to be on that field. They earned it because they're really, really good.
Yeah.
So take heart. The Bills are going to go up, and they're going to show up, and they're going to play well.
Let's quickly go to Dick in Depew here on One Bills Live. What do you have for us, Dick?
Well, first of all, your last caller stole my thunder about that 102-yard. Now, all the stuff that they have, including Music City Miracle, they've got all these camera angles, they got all this mathematics going on and everything. There was a camera behind the end zone that saw that catch. I think it was 102 yards. Can't they measure that?
Well, I'll take it a step further, Dick, in terms of the technology. They got those little tracker packs in the back of everybody's jersey now. You know all the next-gen stats you hear about now and how fast this guy ran and how far how much separation he had from the nearest defender? That's because they all have tracking devices in their jerseys now. So you could know exactly where he was based on that tracking device, whether he was 2 yards or 3 yards deep in the end zone when he caught the ball.
I wasn't aware of that. And I just want to make one comment and let somebody else call. Super Bowl era. From Super Bowl I to Super Bowl 25, the Bills made it to the Super Bowl. It was in Tampa. Now it's 25 years since we won our last division title, and the game was in Tampa. Think about it.
Yeah.
Rod Sterling, the Twilight Zone. Way to
Thanks
go,
for
man.
Your call, Dick. We appreciate
Thank
it.
I've thought about that a million times.
We just
Dick.
Want a different ending. That's the only change.
How about this, too, going down and playing in the Super Bowl against Tom Brady?
Yeah, that was talked about in my house yesterday.
And they would be the first Super Bowl in which one of the teams is actually in their home stadium. And of course, for Bills fans and the organization here, you would be playing against a guy who has tormented you for two decades,
yeah,
who you just got rid of, and now to finally come back and you want to talk about slaying all the dragons and getting all the skeletons out of your closet, beating him in that game.
That would do it.
That would do it.
That would do it.
That would pretty much clean the slate, I'm thinking.
In a big, big way. All right, break time for us. Bob in Hamburg, Steve in Virginia, you guys are next. We take more of your phone calls here on One Bills Live, another Bills Victory Monday with perhaps the biggest game on the line next. That's coming up next. Your comments. One Bills Live presented by Kaleida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
Shotgun, second and goal at the three. The snap, the pass, it is caught by Diggs, and he goes into the end zone. Touchdown, Buffalo. What a well-executed play that was. 3 yards. Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs for the Buffalo touchdown, the first touchdown of the game.
That is the Hunt Red Zone play of the game. Visit huntrealestate.com to score on all your real estate needs. Chris Brown, Steve Tasker on a Bills Victory Monday as the Bills have reached the Final Four, championship weekend for the AFC and the NFC. Bills, in case you haven't heard, 6:40 p.m. kickoff Sunday at Arrowhead. And as Steve and I were discussing, the pressure is unquestionably off the Bills as they face the defending Super Bowl champs and the top seed in the AFC. I think knowing the Chiefs are at home and all of that, I think the Chiefs are overwhelmingly expected to win the game. So the Bills, I think, can just let it all hang out and play loose, and hopefully that will be the case on Sunday. We do want to get back to the phones quickly because we're a little short on time. We go to Bob in Hamburg. Bob, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Happy Monday, guys.
Happy Monday indeed.
Yeah, I would be lying if I didn't say I was really worried about going into this game that the Bills were going to win. But the defensive game plan by Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott was nothing less than incredible, and the execution was even better.
Yeah.
I mean, they contained the run and Jackson and made Jackson have to force to throw to beat them, and he wasn't able to do that. And to agree with Steve, I want Mahomes on the field because if you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. Thanks, guys.
All right, Ric Flair, we appreciate the call. You want to be the best, you got to beat the best. Woo!
Yeah, there's a lot of people say, man, it'd be great if Mahomes didn't play. You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, certainly he's a great player, and all, yeah, but you got to play. You got to play. You got to play, and you may as well play him too. Certainly they'd be easier to beat without Mahomes, you would think. You know, there are no guarantees. You got to go out and play, and you're good enough to be there. Why are you ducking all of a sudden now?
Yeah, start ducking now.
You won 15 games.
Yeah.
In a season, 15,
15
which ties
out of 18.
Which ties the club record. So just go and play. It doesn't matter if Patrick Mahomes was playing or Lenny Dawson is playing. Just go play. And feel confident either way.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to. You can, with Pat Mahomes, you can beat him, and without Pat Mahomes, you can beat him. You got to go play your game. It's not about them. So just, don't worry about them. Just get your guys healthy and run your game plan. I want to see our offense play better than it's played in the last couple.
Yeah,
weeks,
that would be welcome. Although they did come up with 27 points in the first game. Although not all of those points were. Were all those points on offense in the Colts game? These games are blending together for me now. I want to say yes.
I think so, yeah.
There was no defensive touchdown in that game. I don't – because the Colts didn't turn the ball over.
That's right.
Okay. Back to the phone. Steve in Virginia. Steve, what do you have for us? You're on One Bills Live.
Hey, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I noticed this past game, the Bills seemed to struggle on offense and special teams due to the weather, also the elements. I noticed Allen and Singletary slipped. And I wanted to get Steve's opinion. I know back you know, during the Super Bowl era, it seemed like teams did not want to come to Buffalo in December and January because one of the elements, and two, the Bills knew how to play in those elements. And I wanted to know, how long did it take for the Bills team back then to adjust and get to master the elements? And what can the current Bills group do to do better, you know, playing in the wind and the snow, you know, at the Ralph?
Well, I'll tell you, the cold and the snow is not as big a deal as people might think it is. The wind is a real problem. That's the and I think that was the real problem this last Saturday night. The Bills really, and so did the Ravens, really struggled with the wind. The kicking game was you know, it wreaked havoc with the kicking game, and also some of the snaps as well. It's an issue. But the cold and the wind, the cold and the snow is not a big deal. Wet weather is a little bit sometimes of a problem because of the surface, but and slipping. But, you know, I don't know why people think it's an advantage for one team and not the other, because both teams are playing in the same weather, obviously. So football is really hard. And I get it, too. Some people think, I want to see a game in perfect conditions so we can see the best that these teams have to offer. Well, it's hard in the playoffs, whether you're playing in perfect conditions or not. Adding one level of degree of difficulty that is absolutely the same for both teams, I don't have a problem with it. And living it, and as for the one team handling it better than the other, the team that lives here in Buffalo and you're going to play here in Buffalo, when you live here, work in it, it's not a shock when you take the field. You practice in it, you live in it, you go about your daily routine in it. Every time you go outside, you're in it, you're ready for it. You have a chance to experiment with different uniform combinations, glove combinations, you know, tape combinations, how to handle the ball, what it means when you've got this kind of clothing on and that kind of clothing on. Is the ball handling better or worse? You get a chance to experiment with it, and you feel more confident on game day, whereas a team from L.A. or Arizona or Texas or Florida, they come up here, and they get one shot at it.
Yeah. But it was just as new to the Bills players on this roster as it was the visiting teams, because they haven't had a lot of home playoff games here. Haven't had any.
Right.
So it was just as new to them, which is probably why it wasn't maybe as big of an advantage as it was for a lot of Steve's teams that had done it year over year and had become accustomed to what the conditions were going to be like. Not to mention the fact that you had a rookie kicker who's still learning. I don't get the sense that the wind operates the way it does here, because that stadium is a very tall stadium on all four sides. There is no open end. What are the wind conditions like there?
It's not dug out of a bowl. It's up.
No, it's up high.
It's on land. The field is ground level, maybe a little down, but not much.
Not much.
And the field is a double deck stadium all the way around, so it is a much more of a bowl setting than this stadium is here. And I don't remember the wind being an issue in there. Ever. It's cold.
Yeah, but it's enclosed all the way around.
It's almost
why it's so loud.
Yeah, you're almost playing in a big phone booth. It's so tall, you know. So the wind has a hard time tumbling in there and affecting anything. At least that's the way I remember it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this the surface may be a bigger issue and a bigger concern. You know, it's a natural grass surface, and it's late in the year there as well, as you know. So I don't think they had I didn't notice any issues with footing in the Browns Chiefs game this last weekend, you know, yesterday. So,
conditions should be a little more manageable there.
Conditions,
and it's grass, not turf. So
you know
that's a difference.
Both these teams are built the same too. They got a quarterback that slings it, so they're both going to be affected almost identically.
Break time for us, but when we come back, we have one Eric Wood to discuss Saturday night's game and maybe a little bit about what can be expected in the rematch from Week 6 with the Chiefs. Head coach Andy Reid for the Chiefs, by the way, conducting a press conference with the media as we speak. He did confirm Patrick Mahomes is in concussion protocol. His quote, "We'll see how he does the next couple of days," end quote. Back with more, including Eric Wood, here on One Bills Live, presented by Kalata Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.